Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, where is it you grew up again?
Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's that like?
Well, let me tell you about it, Patrick. We have to start back in 1833. That's the year Toledo was founded, named, of course, after a city in Spain. Now, that city is actually pronounced Toledo. Anyway, many people don't know this, but Toledo actually started as part of the Michigan Territory. Don't tell that to my family of Ohio State fans. You know, the buckeye is actually a tree, and it produces these large nuts. Native Americans used to blanch the buckeye nuts and use their tannic acid to make leather. Okay, Patrick, I thought a good way to maybe start this week is fan mail. Let's go back to the correspondence that we get from listeners.
Love doing that, Jim. And I feel good, as I think we talked about last time we talked about some of the correspondence. We're getting real caught up now. We're in the same year that we, and getting closer to the same month of some of the stuff we've talked about, which is excellent.
Yeah, we have a couple of topics that are actually fairly recent that we can touch on here with the listener correspondence. And then the rest of the week, we got a couple other things planned, some patron episodes and so on. But but before we do this, first off, the show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Maybe this is a good time to also tell people that for the last year or a little bit longer, you and I have been recording separately this podcast. We were able to figure out very quickly how we could do that and make it sound, you know, decent and keep it going. But I feel like soon we're going to get back to recording together, right? So
I feel it coming in the air.
So as we're recording this, I've had one dose of vaccine, but I think by the time you hear this, I may have already gotten dose. So,
which is awesome.
Yes. And the whole family is on track on this end. So our whole house will be fully fully vaccinated very soon. So whenever you want to start coming over and see Shadow, your one true friend, you can start doing that again, right?
I know. I hope he remembers me. I really do. I hope that long sense of deep bond we have put together has held up through this terrible year period. But I'm excited, Jim. I have both my shots and have waited the 2 weeks. So the family's working on it as well. So it won't be long
before
we can get back to it. And I know we've been texting with our friend Mike Snyder about some, I mean, the first time we get together, it's got to be pretty epic. And I think we have a cool idea.
Yes, it is going to be good. It is going to be good. So we got to get the Snyder to get the shots.
And, we got to get him jabbed.
I think he's partway there as of today. So
Him and Julie are getting there. So we'll get him jabbed up.
All right. That'll be a good time. We love recording at Mike's place. So,
always epic.
All right. And by the way, just it shouldn't all be about us, too. We hope everything's going well with the listeners and families. And
absolutely.
And hoping that everybody's getting the care and precautions that they need as well. So, okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Listener correspondence. Let's start here with a call from a... sounds like a new listener.
Oh, cool.
He called in after the episode that Mike Wagner, the interview Mike Wagner set up for us with Steve Gorman from formerly of the Black Crowes. So.
Right.
Hello, Jim, Patrick, interns, and community. My name's Charlie Mack. I'm a longtime lurker, first-time contributor to the podcast. I missed out on responding to Zevon Week, so I figured if you interviewed a member of what is probably my favorite band of all time, I might as well get the courage and talk about it. Just want to say, first off, this Steve Gorman interview was great. I'm really glad he got to talk more about his book. I've been a Crowes fan since middle school sometime. I knew the main songs like Hard to Handle and Twice as Hard and stuff like that, which were songs mostly at the radio played. But I finally really got around to them because I really like their classic rock style. I felt like their music from the 70s or whatever. I found out that they're actually from the 90s and they're still around touring and stuff. So, you know, that made me more interested as well when I could finally, you know, get around and check them out and also see them live. I've seen them a dozen or so times mainly in the last act of their career. I did have tickets to Shake Your Money Maker 30th reunion, though. That was ended up being postponed because of COVID. But I did read Gorman's book as soon as it came out last year. I immediately loved it. I thought it was really, really well written. Had a lot of funny, insightful parts that, you know, even as a big Crows fan, I still found interesting. I guess the biggest shock for me after reading the book was kind of like the behind-the-scenes interactions with the Robinson brothers. I knew that, you know, they had a feud, and that's was well aware with the entire community. And I was aware also that that was, you know, what ended the tour back in 2016-17, and they finally called their last hiatus or whatever you want to call it. But I always thought that it was kind of like a too large ego situation between the two of them. But after reading the book, it kind of seemed more like Chris was the ringleader, or so to speak, and Rich really didn't care much about anything. It kind of definitely seemed that Chris was the instigator of a lot of the drama that happened. I mean, that drama happened with record execs, promoters, even band members. Steve Gorman kind of touched on that in his interview with you guys when he talked about the Amorca cover. And it was just, you know, kind of one of those Chris Robinson style changes that, you know, were ill-fated in the end. I was kind of relieved to read and hear in his interview with you guys that he's come to accept the way things as they are. You know, I love this band. I wish they could have gotten bigger, and I wish that, you know, we could have seen them all together again as the OG Crows, but it's kind of clear that that's not going to happen. It's not going to be no more. I always like to think that the Black Crows were a product of their time. They kind of became big because people wanted to get back to basics after the 80s, so to speak. But then, you know, not long after that, they were also kind of swallowed by the grunge and Britpop that came. To me, they'll always be the biggest band in the world for that little bit of time. And I always find it amazing that people don't really know them and their music as much as they should. Anyway, I don't want to ramble on forever. I do want to say just a few more quick things. First of all, I love your guys' podcast. I really want to thank you for curating such a great mix of music and commentary. It helps me get through the day, and I do look forward to it every day. Second, I just want to say to Patrick, you're my birthday brother, May 27. It's random, but pretty damn cool in my opinion. And thirdly, I'm originally from Chicago, but I now live in Toledo, Ohio. So Jim, it's interesting whenever you drop some old Toledo insights like Bombay Bicycle Club or whatever. if you're ever back in town, maybe we can sift the bins at Culture Clash, maybe grab a pint of the Dirty Bird, you know, when things back to normal. That's about it for me. I hope you guys are doing well, and I will listen every day. Bye.
All right. So.
Wow. That was awesome.
Yes. So what really intrigued me about this call was the last part. So.
Yeah.
So Charlie, first off, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for being a listener. And you sound like you're a pretty devoted listener, so we appreciate that. And, course, we don't encourage people as much as we used to listen every day, but because we kind of feel like by this point you should understand that. But we, but yeah, every day we're putting out the entertainment for the peoples. But anyway,
that's right, man.
Okay, so Charlie, yes, next time I'm in Toledo, I'll give you a heads up for sure. We can maybe go to Ernest Brewery. That's my favorite of the new
nice
the craft beer scene that has developed in Toledo, as it has in pretty much every city in America now. So
yep.
Didn't exist when I was younger and living there. We would just go to the convenience store that had the flashing ice cold beer sign, and that and that was pretty loose on the carding. That's my memories of
key.
of beer in Toledo, but I think, you know, it's along the Anthony Wayne Trail. I think it's still there. We just called it ice cold beer. I don't know if it actually had a name, but it had these giant flashing sign on the roof. You know what I mean? Like ice cold beer, and then all together, ice cold beer, ice cold beer, ice cold beer. Yeah. So we just ice called it the ice cold beer store.
Yeah.
And then, what else? Another thing too. I've been trying lately. This is such a small thing. I doubt that it has much impact on anything, but I've been trying to support local venues or venues that, you know, have been mostly shut down over the last year or whatever. And one thing I thought of is like, I'll go on their website and I'll buy a t-shirt or that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a lot of money, but I don't know. It feels like something. So anyway, I recently got
everybody
one.
Everybody did it. Yeah.
I recently bought a t-shirt from the Ottawa Tavern there in Toledo. So oh. Charlie might know that as well. That's sort of a, it's like the one like sort of small like live music club in Toledo. You know, we had like, you know, we would have tours come through that would play maybe in like the basketball arena at the University of Toledo, or they would play in like one of the big theaters in town or that kind of stuff. Right. But we didn't have like a thriving sort of like, you know, indie club sort of scene. But the Ottawa Tavern was that one place, know, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just trying to think of things that he might understand. And then Culture Clash, of course, is a great record store there in Toledo. But they recently moved. They moved downtown. Oh. So I haven't been to the new one yet. I was at the old one that had the records on the roof.
Really saw pictures of that.
Cool place. But they moved downtown. And I find that to be really interesting because when I lived in Toledo, it was – I think it was kind of similar with you in DC. The downtown like was dead, you know, like there was like 5 o'clock, everybody beats it out of there. And there's like, there was nothing happening back in like say the '80s. But now there's like, they moved the Mudhens have moved back downtown. They have a stadium.
Fabulous.
And, there's apparently a lot of cool like restaurants and now, you know, a record store. It like feels like they can survive downtown. So it's cool.
That's amazing.
So good things happening. So anyway, thanks very much. And then the next thing, Charlie, so I promise absolutely I'll get in touch next time I'm in Toledo. My mother still lives there. So I go back, you know, once a year or so.
Yeah.
But also I would ask that you, you know, sort of help build up the following in the Glass City for this podcast. Right. So make sure. I feel like we should have a little bit more penetration in my hometown, right? So, Charlie, you know, be our advocate, be our ambassador, all right?
Are you suggesting one of those spinning signs that he could stand on the corner and sort of spin one of those? That'd be good. Yeah. Awesome, man. Great to hear from Charlie Mack, the dulcet tones of Charlie Mack. It was very warm and inviting, and hey, he's a Gemini, so watch out, Jim, if you hang out with him. Those Geminis are unpredictable. Mm. But I think hanging out with me, you'll probably have enough experience to know if something's starting to go wrong, you can take precautionary measures.
All right. Very good. So, all right. Thanks very much for that.
Man.
And let's see here. Where are we going? Oh, yeah. So then we got a couple of emails, I think, or Facebook comments on David Bowie. We did the David Bowie Countdown Week.
Yeah.
And, of course,
a lot of fun.
You get a lot of response from people on that, and it was great fun, and so enjoyed it. Yeah, we have a couple of Facebook comments here. I'll just read through them really quickly. One from Jay Ignacio, who says, thank you again for amazing Bowie Week. I'm a huge Bowie fan, and I'm sad I missed the recording, because we had listeners in on the recording of it. But
yes.
And then he says, but I saved the Countdown episodes to listen to in one sitting, so that was cool. I was not surprised that my number one, Kooks from Hunky Dory, was not on the list.
Right.
Perhaps another playlist of just one vote songs would be interesting. He says, Kooks is special to me because it was on my baby playlist when my son was born. It really resonates with raising a kid in these crazy times. Yes, I'm that dad that dresses my kid in rock shirts. And here's a picture of my work bag. And he included a photo here, Patrick. You can see his like backpack that he uses for work.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It has some like Bowie pins and stuff on it.
Yeah, it's really neat. Yeah, that's definitely showing your allegiance right there with those pins and buttons. Very cool.
Very
badges.
Good.
Rebel.
Any thoughts on Kooks?
It actually a song. I think I got a few votes. It's one of those songs that really kind of resonates with people. So, you know, it's like what we talk about when we do these countdowns. You can like songs, they can be your favorite song, but there's also something extra special, I think, when you've got some way that it bonds you to your life or something that happened during a certain time or, you know, things like that. So it's cool that he had a baby playlist.
Yes.
and that really, you know, that's the way he extra bonded with that song, why it's his number one. So I think that's great. I just love it when those personal stories are intertwined with your favorite music. And I think for me and you, Jim, that's our whole life. So essentially, life in 10 songs.
So great.
Will you stay in a love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in a love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing.
Okay, now Mark Neese also posted a Facebook comment here. It was interesting. He said, "My honorable mention Bowie song is Let's Dance."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about this in a minute, but anyway, Mark says, "Sure, it may be considered mainstream Bowie, though even when Bowie was mainstream, he was unusual, and it might suffer from oversaturation. But what a killer bass line, and that rising vocal line is a great hook and ear candy." Of course, that scorching Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar solo. This song and a thought-provoking video penetrated the rural hinterlands of America and blew many young minds, myself included. So I was actually surprised that didn't make the top 15. I remember it as just being a huge hit.
It was.
And I was in high school at that time, and I can relate. Mark is from Michigan. I'm from Ohio. I can definitely relate to like what a big deal that was, and sort of like, at that point, not having a huge knowledge of Bowie. And so even though he was in that period where he was wearing suits and everything, he still seemed a little weird or a little bit different, you know, compared to, you know, other stuff you were hearing on Top 40 radio and that sort of thing. And I always thought that Let's Dance, you know, like I said, was a huge hit. I kind of expected that to make the top 15. And I think the one song that did make it with our listener poll was Modern Love.
Right.
From that album, which I really loved.
That was the one.
It was on my top 10 as well, but I guess I was kind of surprised that I kind of thought that was my own sort of personal thing. Like, Modern Love is the song, but I guess that's the one people really like over time. I was expecting more from Let's Dance and China Girl.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, and I think Mark's use of oversaturation is probably key in that conversation. I mean, I hesitate to say this because we've wired something into our podcast now that every time I say it, I get an electric shock. But I used to work at a record store. Ow! And, you know, that was, you know, it, that album just had legs like forever, you know, it just hung around for such a long time. It was such an amazing comeback. And, it was always on the, you know, the sale that week and in rotation. And so we touched on this a little bit on the Bowie podcast too, but, you know, it's hard to appreciate something sometimes when it's that embedded in your gray matter. Right. Anybody who's able to look past that and really put together what it is for a great song, that means a lot. So,
and one last thing I think is important to discuss here too is the Stevie Ray Vaughan
thing. Oh my God.
I think when I learned that he played on that, because I became familiar with Stevie Ray Vaughan a little bit later. I think when I learned that he played on that Bowie song, it kind of broke my brain a little bit. I was like, that guy? It didn't seem to... It didn't seem to know. Their styles seem so different that you wouldn't think that's the guy he would recruit to play a solo on a song, or that, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan would even want to play that kind of style of music. But
yeah,
you know, it looking, you know, now that I know more about how musicians you know, don't necessarily have to stick to like one style and can play other things, like it makes more sense now. And maybe what Bowie was going for was a certain feeling that made sense in that song, because it kind of has, like you mentioned, that sort of it pays tribute to sort of an older style of music in some ways, right? So it all kind of makes sense now, but at the time I was like, what, that doesn't, how did that happen, right?
I know. Yeah, this guy with the cowboy hat and these flashy you know, blues licks,
right?
Doesn't seem like it would work. Yeah, he's no Mick Ronson, in other words, but it's kind of amazing. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. And then lastly here, Liam McAdoo from originally from New Zealand, now lives in Dublin, says, just finished listening to the Bowie Countdown, which was a blast. I really loved the format. It was great hearing other listener views and stories about the songs picked. And then he says, one thing I was definitely disappointed in, and I was guilty of this, was that the big songs in his catalog were the top choices. No real surprises. Mm. You know, I think that happens.
Yep.
It's, you know, when you have a vote, we let the people vote. And that's
right.
You know, that's how it works out. But anyway, Liam goes on to say, I was really hoping that one song from his last album, Black Star, would have made the cut, as that record is probably the album I listen to most as a whole, with Let's Dance being a close second. Mm. Especially the second side, I guess he's talking about Black Star here, which is an absolutely phenomenal sequence of songs. The last song, I Can't Give Everything Away, is the song the whole album has been working toward, and is a song which I feel every time I listen to it. The lyrics, seeing more and feeling less, saying no but meaning yes, this is all I ever meant, that's the message that I sent. To me, it sounds like he's trying to reconcile his life or maybe his death. And that's from Liam. So, we touched on that a little bit.
Black
Star, what an amazing album that is, not just for the album itself, but within the context of
absolutely,
you know, his late life. Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting too. And I think that we've addressed this a little bit, you know, like the inherent challenges of doing a vote like that, is that, you know, your favorite, like Kooks or Black Star stuff, is going to be left out, you know, possibly, like, you know, more than likely, but because of the vote style. But I love the way the community contributed, and we had such a good conversation during that week. So if you haven't heard that Bowie week, I love the idea of just, you know, saving them all up and listening to them all in one go. That's really cool. That's a neat way to do it. Yeah. So if you're taking a long drive or something like that. But yeah, I really loved all the commentary, the anger from Rob Gates and all that. Yes. Was really great.
So, all right. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks,
appreciate guys. The correspondence. Appreciate when listeners want to interact with the show. So, all right.
Always.
More fun stuff on tap this week. So let's get out of here and move on to that. All right, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster. And
we'll talk to you all tomorrow. His stuff absolutely holds up and seems cool 50 years later in some cases.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
it's kind of amazing. Yeah. Really.